Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Pramail Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Amen. Amen. Come on, put those hands together and bless the Lord. To all of our ministers that are here, pulpit in the pew, to the officer members of this body, and to all of you, my father's children, good morning to all of you. What a privilege and honor it is to be in God's house one more time. Amen. On this Pentecost Sunday, amen, the 50th day after Easter, the 50th day, Pentecost meaning 50th. This is the day, my friends, where the Holy Spirit, y'all missed that. This is the day that the Holy Spirit was deposited into the believers in God. It's Pentecost Sunday. Can you imagine how wonderful it had to be that day? When everybody was on one accord. Everybody understood each other's language. Everybody spoke. Unknown tongues were made clear. But the blessing was not the tongues. The blessing was not all the flamboyance. But the blessing was the unity in spirit and the power that was given to all of God's children. And we give God glory for His Holy Spirit. On this day, we celebrate and commemorate as believers in Christ God's gifting, that third aspect of the Blessed Trinity in His Holy Spirit. And we give God praise for the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 There is a word from the Lord that we aspire to share with you on today. If you journey with me, if you would, to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 11. Very familiar passage of scripture. See what the Lord has to say to us on today. St. John, chapter number 11. Gospel according to St. John, chapter 11. As always, we ask that those who are physically able will stand with us for the reading of God's word. Amen. So good to see you in God's house on today. Thank you for worshiping with us. So many other places you could have been, and we thank God that you're here with us. And we hope that in some way we carry ourselves, that you see a little bit of Zion in New Zion. Amen. God bless you today. God bless you. Gospel according to St. John chapter 11. I want to look, if you would, with me down to verse number 44. St. John chapter 11, verse number 44. You there? I'll be reading from the New Living Translation of God's Word, but it's God's Word yet and still. Amen. The scripture reads thusly, "And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go." That's enough. You may be seated in the presence of God. Blessed are those who read, hear, and apply God's holy word. If you would join me for a moment real quickly and just lift your hands toward heaven. As you lift your hands toward heaven, if you will repeat after me these words, Lord, I need somebody to unwrap me. Give God praise. We're getting ready to tell us on today. Lord, I need somebody to unwrap me. It is a troublesome yet honest approach we must take today, beloved of God, and be honest that we are blessed beyond recognition. We are blessed beyond words. God has been good to us, and God has shown Himself faithful even when we have not always been faithful. Amen. God woke us up this morning to another day that we do not deserve. Amen. He touched us just because He could. It wasn't an alarm clock that woke us up. It wasn't medication that woke you up. It wasn't some screaming child that woke you up. But it was the hand of God that touched you and I and allowed us and graced us with the gift of another day. We made it another week. For many of us, it's been 168 hours since we last assembled in this place. And God has shown himself faithful because we made some mistakes. We fumbled the ball in some areas. We didn't dot every I, we didn't cross every T. We may not have felt our best, but here it is one more week and God has still spared us and allowed us another week. Some of us have traveled all across this area, dangerous highways, dangerous interstates, dangerous intersections, and God has blessed us. Here we are again. We've had some issues take place. Our money may have gotten funny. We went through some storms, went through some circumstances. But if you mess around and look down, or you mess around and put your finger in front of your nose and breathe, you'll realize you're still here. You might be in debt, but you're still here. Might be broke, but you're still here. Might be frustrated, but you're still here. May be in a little pain or discomfort, but you're still here. What I'm trying to get you to catch up with me just a little bit and tell you that God has been good to us. God has been blessing us. God is blessing us even right now as we speak. And the truth of the matter is, we always say this, if God never does another thing for us, he's still worthy of the praise. But most of us are sitting here today expecting, because God is so much of a God, we're still expecting God to keep blessing us. We still expect God to keep taking care of us and providing for us. But I must talk to you today and let you know that even though you're blessed, many of us need to deal with the reality that we're bound. You have a lot of favor today. Somebody say favor. You have been favored by God. God has picked you out so you can be picked on by the devil. You have been favored. You have been blessed. You have been touched. You have been anointed. You have been favored, but you're not free. You're blessed, but you're not, but you're still bound. And the problem we have today, we got to discover and deal with, I got to argue for a few moments, is that we don't know how good we got it because we're bound. We won't be any better because we don't want to deal with the fact that we're bound. The reason you can't shout like you should is because you're bound. Can I upset you real quick and tell you, as good as God has been to many of you that I know of, you should have came in this house on fire. You should have been turning flips. Sick as you was, broke as you was, lost as you was, messed up as you was, and God spared you, God kept you, God delivered you, God healed you, and you go walk in, and you go sit down, and you go fold your arm, and you go look around, and you go frown your face, it's because you bound. And it's amazing to me, child of God, how you and I can be in 2019. And God has blessed us so much, and we still have the nerve to be bound. It's like a caged animal. It's like y'all are familiar with psychiatric patients who, because of what's going on the inside, they have superhuman power. And so the best way to keep them contained is to tie them up, tangle them up, and wrap them up. Well, somebody should have been able to come and get their hands on you today, because when you look back over your life and you see how far God brought you, somebody should have had to tell you, hush. Somebody should have to tell you, maybe sit down, because good as God been to you, I can't wait to get to the sanctuary. I can't wait to get up on the hill. I can't wait till they turn the mic on. Can't wait till they turn the lights on, because I'm going to praise God like I lost my mind. I'm too blessed to be bound. And we've got to discover today what is our responsibility as people of God and as the individual. How do we deal with the fact that we're blessed but still bound? Because it's something we got to look at within ourselves and say, maybe it hadn't been them. Maybe it hadn't been that. Maybe all this time, the reason I'm not in my destiny is because I'm bound. Maybe I hadn't got to my promise yet because I'm bound. I'm hindered. I'm held back. I'm tied up on some stuff. Some stuff got me held back. I want to do, but I can't do. I want to say, but I won't say, because I'm blessed, but still bound. And such is the discipline we discover in this discourse in St. John 11. Can I tell you the story, just real briefly, overview the story? Y'all know it, but I want to cover it for people who may not have been to Sunday school. That in St. John 11, we find this place, this village called Bethany. Bethany means the house of unripe figs or the house of mourning. This village called Bethany, there lived a man named Lazarus and his two sisters. And Bethany is known, according to King James and a few other versions, is known as the village of Mary and Martha. Now, you missed your shout there, because what we call, you ought to thank God that the gospel writer sometime based the location and description of a town off the faithful folks who are there. You got problems in Bethany, you got issues in Bethany, but Bethany ain't known by the problem people. Bethany is known for the righteous people. Y'all gonna catch up with me in a minute. You, just because drugs going on don't mean drugs got to run town. Just because violence is taking place don't mean violence got to run town. Ought to be something said about Winfield, that Winfield got some people who are praying. Winfield got people who love the Lord. Winfield got people who gonna do right. Winfield got people who gonna stand up. My question to you today is, what is Winfield known for? It's known by the faithful people. And these are companions of Christ. Various times as Christ is on his journey, on his traveling, he stops by and eats and sups and shares with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Y'all remember in, I think, Luke chapter 10, we find that they had some discourse. Mary and Martha find themselves with Jesus at the house. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to teaching. And Martha is in the kitchen working. Martha's in the kitchen trying to get stuff together, get stuff prepared to feed the preacher. And so Martha gets mad and rebukes her sister, wants Jesus to rebuke her sister. Jesus, tell her, get in this kitchen and help me with this food. Right. He says, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about many things. He says, you're worried about this, but your sister's sitting at my feet. She has chosen that good part that cannot be taken from her. So they've got some discourse. They got some time. They spent some time with the Savior. It's called Lazarus is one whom the Bible says Lazarus is one whom Jesus loved, which means they are great friends and companions of the Lord. Bible records that at some point in time, Lazarus gets sick. Lazarus gets sick and he dies. They send word, Jesus at the time of the text, Jesus is some day's journey away. He's somewhere in Galilee, a place called Perea. Perea means the land beyond. We don't know where Jesus is. All we know, he's somewhere east of the Jordan River. And now, but back here in Judea, around God's people, 2 miles away from Jerusalem, Lazarus dies. Lazarus dies. And they send word to Jesus. And when they send word to Jesus, Jesus waits 2 more days. Wait a minute now. This is supposed to be your friend. This is supposed to be your homeboy. This is supposed to be your companion. This is the one who's been to church every Sunday. This is the one who's been there every Wednesday. This is the one who ain't missed nothing. And the Lord loved you that much and let your brother die. And then by the time they tell Jesus, Jesus don't hurry and stop what he's doing and come see about Lazarus. Jesus hears the report and waits 2 more days. Okay, I thought I was in the right church today. Maybe I'm in the wrong one. Because I'm looking at people right now who are still in their feelings with the Lord because he did not come when you wanted him to come. And you've been in church all this time. You've been doing all the right stuff. And the Lord done worked quicker for people who don't mean him no good than he done waited on you. And he done made you wait. He done let something die. He done let something go bad. And he ain't hurry up and come find you. And the truth of the matter is, some of us are in our feelings right now because the Lord has not come when you want him to. How can you love me and then let me die? They ask him, Jesus waits 2 more days. By the time he gets to the edge of Bethany, 4 days have passed. That means that Lazarus is really dead. Y'all missed that? Because, see, the teaching was amongst the Jews that after 3 days, that within a three-day period, the spirits and souls of the deceased could stay somewhere in the atmosphere. This was teaching of the Jews. And they believed that after 3 days, within a three-day period, the spirit of the soul could enter back into the dead. And so Jesus sees further ahead than we do, and Jesus said, I'm going to wait till it can't be nobody else to get glory but me, and I'm going to let something really die. I ain't going to let it half die. I ain't going to let it really. I'm going to let it shown up die so y'all will see me get the glory. Because if Jesus would have came within that three-day period, they would have took the glory from the Lord and say, well, it's just how it always is. And so Jesus comes, and we find out the roles have been reversed. Martha gets word that Jesus has come to Bethany. Now, Jesus come to Bethany. His disciples don't want nothing to do with that, because disciples say to him, look, Lord, they trying to kill you. Last time we was in Judea, they was trying to kill you. And not only trying to kill you, they're trying to kill us. Now, we understand you the Savior. We understand you the Messiah. But why do we all have to get killed fooling with you? How about we go on somewhere else? Now, see, because really, if you let him die, must be something you want him to die with. So why we need to go back and worry about stuff that really ain't got nothing to do with us? Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. Jesus says he's just sleeping. And so the disciples get deep now and they say, well, if he's sleeping, ain't no sense in going back and fix him. He'll wake up sooner or later. Jesus says, y'all don't even understand me. So y'all come along with me so y'all can understand what I'm really all about. Martha comes and meets Jesus. Now, because they're 2 miles away from Jerusalem, here come the funeral people. Not the faithful people, but the funeral people. Not the people who will help you minister, but the people who will help you mourn. Okay, everybody got some folks who don't want to help you build, but they'll help you cry. They won't come to your baptism, but they'll come to your burial. Lord have mercy. They won't come help you graduate, but they'll come when you get sick. And here comes some people to help them mourn. And Martha gets word privately that Jesus is in town. And she comes to him and runs to him. Jesus, I know that if you would have been here earlier, you could have saved my brother. Don't worry about that, Martha. This thing ain't about death. This ain't about death. He said, well, Jesus, I don't understand. This ain't about death. Just trust me. Mary is back at the house. The same one who in Luke 10 was at his feet. Who chose the good part in Luke 10. Now she don't get her way. Things don't go her way. She don't want to worship no more. While Lazarus living, we go shout, we go listen to the Lord's word. But when I don't get things to work out for me, I don't really need to go see him. Ain't that us? Ain't that us? Y'all gonna let me just talk for a minute? Ain't that us? You can tell how stuff going in our lives by how we treat worship. When things going your way, you will shout, you will show up, and you will share. But I can tell when you're in your feelings. I better leave that alone. I got a long way to travel. So I'm going to cut across the field a little bit. Mary gets word, and she finally goes out to see Jesus. Just show me where you laid him. She goes to his feet. Jesus, if you would have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. He says, well, your brother will live again. Then she gets deep like we do. Well, I know we go see him at the resurrection. I know that on that day, on that last day, we all gonna be caught up in the middle of the air, yada, yada, yada. And Jesus quickly tells her, he said, look, you're looking for resurrection, and you don't realize you're looking at resurrection. Y'all missed your shout right there. Jesus says, you're looking for resurrection, but you forgot who you're talking to. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall
He lives. Believest now that I can do those things. All I'm asking you, do you believe I can? And y'all, Mary does something that we don't do. She says, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe that you can do it. And that was before the miracle. Who in this room has learned how to confess Jesus even when I don't see the details? Who's learned how to give God glory even though I don't know what's going to happen on the other side? Is there anybody in Zion this morning who learned how to praise God even when I don't know what tomorrow holds? Tell somebody next to you, I don't need to see it to believe in him. Jesus said, show me where you laid him. Show me where you laid him. And they move to the tomb. Now, it's believed by theologians that it was somewhat of a hole dug for this grave, not a rock like normal, but somewhat of a hole that was dug with a stone placed on top of it. And Jesus tells them, move the stone. Jesus looks around. He sees all the mourning. He sees the sadness. He sees the unbelief. He sees the faithlessness. He sees people not believing. He sees people crying more than looking forward to a miracle. Jesus sees people who are around him who have proclaimed his name who really don't believe in him. The Bible tells us that Jesus in his own heart starts to grieve, and Jesus weeps. Two most powerful words in Scripture, Jesus wept. Not because he didn't feel the pain, not because he didn't know who he was, but he sees his people who just don't believe. And it caused Jesus to weep. Zion, I wonder often when the Lord comes and looks at us and visits us, what does he see? Do we make him cry? Or do we make him happy? Not by your deeds, but by your disbelief. The fact that I still won't trust him to fight my battle. Still won't trust him to deliver me. Still won't trust him to work on my behalf. I still want to worry. I still want to pace the floor all night. I still want to dig ditches. I still want to cause mess. I still won't tithe. I still won't sow. I still won't give. Still won't be a part. I wonder, does it make him cry when he sees our lives? He says, move the stone away. And the sisters now say, wait a minute now. If we move the stone, he gonna stink. Because now they think that death is not the only problem. Now they think decay. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Many of us don't have a problem with admitting some stuff is dead in your life, but you don't want no smell following you. Because if the stench follows you, now everybody gonna know something ain't right, what's going on. And Jesus, if you move the stone, now everybody go know that he's really dead. Why do we have to dig up our past? Why do we need to dig up this hurt? Why do we need to go revisit this pain and deal with the stench associated with it? Many of us are bound because we don't let the stone be moved away. We won't let no fresh air in and keep the stale air in. Jesus says to him, move the stone. Good news of the text, y'all, is that Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Old preacher had a way of saying it. He didn't just say, come forth. Because if he said, come forth, Elijah would have got up. Jeremiah would have got up. Isaiah would have got up. So he had to call him by name, Lazarus, come forth. Y'all missing God. You got a Savior who knows you by name. And God don't specialize in general blessings. Your God specializes in personal blessings. Tell somebody next to you, he knows you by name. Glory to God. Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. And the Bible tells us in verse number 44, this is where we are, said all that to get here. Nothing be out your way. Lazarus, come forth. Bible, John describes what's going on with him. He's bound. He's tied up. His face is covered with a napkin. His face is covered so that he's really dead. His hands and his feet are bound. Y'all missing your shout to a Sunday morning because how am I come forth when I can't move? Yeah. Lazarus, come forth. I told you that the grave was a hole. It was down under. It was low. It was deep. And the Lord called me by his words and told me, come forth. That sounds a lot like salvation to me. That I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the water he... I need to survey the room and see if there's anybody else in Zion who knows what it's like to be lifted, who knows what it's like for the Lord to pick you up, who knows what it's like for him to get you out of your darkness, to get you out of the pit. Ain't nothing like the Lord lifting you. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. The reason you missed it, because you ain't had nothing to do with it. So far, it ain't got nothing to do with you other than obeying his voice. One of these days, the Lord called you, and you answered him. You got saved because he called you. You answered the call. That was your moment. That was your day, and he called you out, and it wasn't your own doing. Some young man, you hear this right now, Lazarus wasn't straight, but he was still saved. Lazarus was struggling, but he still got saved. Lazarus had problems, but he still got saved. You can't get yourself together and then get saved. How about you gonna get saved and then work on getting yourself together? Woo! Y'all missing it. Y'all missing it. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Because the teaching in the text is the testimony of the text. That God calls me even though I'm tied up. That God don't wait till I look right to call me out. He don't wait till I smell good to call me out. He calls me even when I'm dead. Lazarus, come forth. How did he get there? And his feet tied up, and his hands tied up. He can't crawl out because his hands. He can't walk out because his feet. I need the Lord to lift me, other way I can't get out of here. Lord, if you don't help me, I can't do this. Lord, I can't move unless you take me. The reason some of y'all can't shout, because you trying to tear out of it yourself. The reason you can't shout, you trying to move your own self. But God has lifted you out, and some of y'all working yourselves too hard. My question to you today is, which one is more important to get out of, the grave or the clothes? Y'all missing God. I can handle being imperfect. I just want another chance. I know if I can get out of this grave, I got a chance. But what's the point in getting right and I'm still in a grave? What's the point y'all keep doing church? And you still dead on the inside. What's the point? You keep shouting every Sunday and your life ain't got no better. You want to be free to live in the grave, or do you want to come out of the grave and let the Lord free you? And then when the Lord gets you out, now it's time to work on the grave clothes. Can I help you real quick? That when you come out, that's the objective, getting out of that grave. Now, that's the word for some of you all who like to get saved, get baptized, and think that's it. Because now, once you get out, now you look at yourself and say, I'm bound. I'm not the best I could be because I'm still bound. I can praise God every day knowing I'm out of a grave, but I love God so much I want to run on and see what the end go be. So, Bible says that Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Bible says Lazarus comes out with his grave clothes on. And may I insult every last one of us in this room and say that's the state that the church leaves most people in. We just get them out and let them stay bound. And ladies and gentlemen, we got to learn how to balance human responsibility and divine sovereignty. We got to learn how to balance divine sovereignty and human responsibility. That oftentimes God will let you be a part of your own miracle. May I suggest that some of us have not got our blessed life yet because we don't want to do anything. Amen. We want the Lord to do it all. Lord, heal my body, but you don't want to eat vegetables. Amen. Lord, save my marriage, but I won't go home. There's divine sovereignty. In other words, God's going to do his part, but you and I got to do our part. Jesus gives us a little pretense to that when he told them, y'all move the stone. It's not that he couldn't move it himself, but why would he move it and you go put it right back? If you move it, that means that you want it moved. Because the Lord will not do anything for you that you really don't want him to do. And we'll see how serious you really are about change when you're willing to get your hands dirty and move the stone from your own grave. And so we got to deal with a couple of things as it pertains to, Lord, send somebody to unwrap. Lord, unwrap me, please. You got to deal with some stuff. Why do I need to be unwrapped? Because I'm still plagued by my past.
Amen, brother.
I'm saved, but every time I look at these clothes, every time I look and see what I can't do, it reminds me of how I got in that shape. It reminds me of what got me sick. It reminds me of what got me in the grave. And if you're not careful, you can be so plagued by your past that you won't move towards your future. That when God brings you new opportunities, you're so caught up with the grave clothes that you will forfeit your opportunity and just stay right here. Because at least I'm used to grave clothes. And you'll wear stuff just because it fits you. The grave clothes, ladies and gentlemen, these strips of linen were put on them, and some type of substance was used to make it fit the form of Lazarus's body. It wouldn't have fit Martha. It wouldn't have fit Mary. It was a perfect fit for Lazarus, which meant that even though he was dead, he still had comfortable clothes on. Because it looks like it fits. And when it fits, but it does not fit once I'm free. Amen. Grave clothes only fit dead people. Grave clothes don't fit living people. Grave clothes are fit on you if you don't plan on moving no more. But if you plan on lifting your hands, if you plan on dancing on your feet, if you plan on walking in God's power, you got to come out of them clothes. some stuff that only fits you because you don't want to live no better. And the enemy is fooling you with it because it fits you. But mess around and try to move like you live it and see how that stuff ain't comfortable no more. The grave clothes of tradition. The grave clothes of we ain't never done it this way before. The grave clothes of I'm white, I'm black, I'm Baptist, I'm Catholic, I'm Presbyterian, I'm COGIC. That stuff, and if you see now the season we're in, that don't fit us no more. And I'm tired of letting tradition keep me bound. I'm tired of man's opinion keeping me bound. God put a fire in you. God put a gift in you that is bigger than you've ever seen. But stop letting people's opinion keep you bound. God has called you to do something different. True vision is something that's never been done before. Sight is based on what you can always see. But vision is seeing something ain't never been done before. And God has given all of you amazing vision, but other people's opinion, tradition. God has called you not to be the only fool in your family. Mama got drunk. Daddy got drunk. Uncle got on drugs. But God called me out of that. And there is, and so if I can't be invited to the family picnic because I want to do better, I'm not going to let y'all keep me bound just because I don't want to gamble. I ain't going to let y'all keep me bound. I can cook my own meat. I can grill my own chicken. I can eat my own sausage. Keep your sausage. I'm going on with Jesus. Oh, Lord. Young people, if your Boo or Bae got a problem with you coming to church, that's the wrong Boo or Bae. Adults, if your Boo or Bae got a problem with you coming to church, that's the wrong Boo or Bae. And some of y'all right now are trying to go in, get in and out of grave clothes to satisfy your baby, to satisfy your man, satisfy your woman who you want to be patient with. But God has called you for something else. And if they can't handle the saved you, they can't handle you. If you can't handle my blessing, you can't handle my body. If you can't handle my goodness, you can't handle me. God's word to somebody today is, the reason why you're frustrated is because that don't fit you no more. The reason you're so irritable is because you're living with grave clothes on. I'm saved. I'm in church. I'm in the word. I'm at Bible study. I'm at choir rehearsal. I look like I'm doing all right. I got breath, but I'm still bound. I'm doing better than I was, but I'm still bound. Look at all the stuff that you and I try to fit in that represents death. Because anything you're a part of that's going to keep you bound, ain't no part of being a part of that. You want to be a part of something that gives life. That's when you start challenging yourself and start saying, look, I know I need to make money, and I understand the premise behind selling dope, but I look at what happened, results from me doing this. Look at who dies. Look at whose life. Look at what family I'm destroying. I'm feeding my family, but I'm killing another one. It's when you start saying to yourself, even though it fits me, it's going to kill somebody else. I don't want to be a part of nothing that's going to kill nobody. Let me get through. Lord, unwrap me. Because right now I realize I'm plagued by my past. Lazarus is out, but he got grave clothes on. And here's the problem. Some more tension. Now you got a man who's alive with grave clothes on. Now the people around scared of him.
Amen.
Which leads you to point number two, why I need the Lord to unwrap me, because I got people around me who won't participate. I'm out. Everybody showed up for my funeral. Everybody came and helped my family cry. The Lord showed up. I'm better now. I'm breathing. I've got resuscitation. I've got restoration. I've got resurrection. And now people just stand around and watch me bow. So really what you have is two sets of bound people. You got Lazarus who has been unwrapped, ain't been unwrapped, and you got church folk who are unbelievers. Church, what would happen? I'm gonna ask you this question. I'm not trying to sound redundant or rhetorical or crazy. What do you do when God answers your prayer? What do you do with answered prayers? There it is. That's what we do. Nothing. It was a funeral that they came to. They weren't prepared for revival. And now Satan has flipped it. And you come to revival looking for a funeral. My question to you today, what brought you here? What brought you here? See how y'all looking at me right now? Because you know what brought you here really ain't the right thing. You came because it's Sunday. You came because you're supposed to. But you didn't come to see something new. You didn't come to see hellbound destinies altered. You didn't come to see walls be torn down. You didn't come to see people's lives be changed. You came because it's Sunday. And so all these people we got now, look around, look around. Don't just look at me, look around. What you see right now is people who are saved, blessed, but still bound because we don't know what to do with each other. Because as far as I know to do is get you out the grave. I know how to pray that God get you out, but I don't know my responsibility to you. And the church don't like to deal with her responsibility toward her people. Jesus says, loose him. Let him go. That means he ain't gonna do it. Okay. Look at your Bible. Verse 44. The dead man came out. That's like canceling out. That's just redundancy. The dead man came out. You missed your shout. You know why you missed your shout? Because dead men came out today. Sooner or later, it's going to hit your neighborhood. You're going to realize what I'm talking about. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his head wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them. Oh, loose him. Look at the child of God. He didn't tell Lazarus, get yourself out of that. I know y'all don't like it, y'all, but this is the Bible. And we got to learn how to deal with our responsibility to help and assist each other to have a better standard of living. We've got to grow from helping people come to church to becoming church. But if the people who's supposed to set me free bound, we all going to be bound. If the deacon still got a problem with his temple, how you going to tell me something? If the sister still bitter, how she going to help me get better? See, so many of us want to be the only miracle. You got a lot of stuff going on right here, y'all. You got to see it in your spiritual figurative eye. You got other folks who are bound figuratively who don't want to deal with this man who's bound literally. Because they want to be the only one that the story be written about. How the Lord saved me. How the Lord restored me. How the Lord renewed me. How the Lord took care of me. But what happens when he do to the one you done wrote off? What happens when he pick up the one you done talked about? Yeah. And the shame of it all is, you and I got scissors. And we'll walk by people we supposed to cut loose. You have a business, and you won't hire your own people. You got old textbooks and you won't share with your brother or sister whose child already tuition too high and you won't go and get loan them a book. You've got a vehicle and you won't give them a ride to the store. You'll watch them sweat in the heat and let them pass out. That's your own brother and sister. They got to get it how I got it. Got to put their leg on one time, one leg at a time like I do. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps like I did. Older folks ought to be ashamed. It's some of y'all's fault why this generation is messed up. Because y'all won't cut them free. Y'all just go look at them. She hot. You just cooled off. Because old rats still like cheese. Penny Wade, 805 Lenox Street. You don't know nothing about that. Listen to me. You know what it's like to go through what some of these young people going through. Amen. And won't do or say anything to them. Amen. Because you don't want no stench on you. Amen. But then when your grandbaby, now the whole church got to have a prayer rally. Because your grandbaby got in-house. But when it was somebody else's grandbaby, it didn't matter. Because you don't want that smell around you. Because it reminds you of what you really haven't been delivered from. Water in a pot is only different based on the heat it's under. And just because some of y'all ain't under as much heat as somebody younger don't mean you don't know what it's like to have been under pressure. That's why people don't believe in church anymore. Amen. Because it's not a hospital, it's hospice. just go watch you die and not try to help you live. That's why people ain't coming in these pews, because they know deep down we really don't care after we get through shouting. That I'm going to shake your hand and hug you Sunday morning. And if I see you in Walmart, I ain't even going to speak. And the problem with many of us, we just ain't used to that. Because we were taught how to play church. This generation now ain't going to play with you. They want something real. They want something authentic. They need somebody who's going to help set me free. And they were fooled with a dope dealer. They were fooled with gangs because at least try to cut me free. At least somebody gonna come talk to me. But you clean church folks don't want to deal with me. You want to make me pull up my pants when I come in. You want me to cover my tattoo when I come in. You want me to take down my braids when I come in. You want me to remove my earring when I come in. You want me to look right when I come in. You want me to smell good when I come in. You want me to sober up when I come in. But how about we let you come in messed up and let the Holy Ghost do its work to you and we'll all shout together. Plagued by my past, got people who won't participate. And Jesus waited as long as they waited. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. He didn't say, hurry up and loose him. He spoke at one time. Loose him and let him go. Don't just loose him, let him go from this place. Once you get him out the grave clothes, get him away from the grave. Y'all missing God. Once you get him out of grave clothes, now teach him now. This some place you don't go, otherwise you get back in the same shape. How about I give you an option besides the one you've been taking? I don't want to leave you with a dead end because all you're going to do is go back to old habits. But I'm going to minister to you. I ain't going to preach at you. I ain't going to shout at you. I'm going to minister to you because I know what it's like to go the wrong way. Anybody else know like I know what it's like to go the wrong way and don't mind admitting in church on a Sunday morning? You got a suit on, you got a dress on, you got a necklace on, you're looking good, you're anointed, speak with the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, but you know what it's like to go the wrong way. My grandparents' parents told me, where you going? I've already been. Lord, have mercy. Plagued by your past. You got people who won't participate. That's why I need somebody to unwrap me, because I need somebody who's going to participate. I don't need too many. Just somebody to hold the scissors, and somebody to hold me. I don't got to have a whole lot of folks. Just a couple of people who care. I don't need a whole church laying hands if none of them hands go cut me free. I don't need you praying for me and you're going to leave me in the same shape. I want you to pray for me and the Lord speak to you and give you some solutions to how we can get me out of this shape. Because it took everything in me to get out. Lord have mercy. It took some of y'all, it took everything you got in you to come to do what you're doing now. So you got to have some help. There's no such thing as a self-made man. No such thing as a self-made woman. You got to have help on this journey. And I come against this assignment of individual ministry. I come against the assignment of you and God and nobody else. God has called you to be a part of a body. And I ain't never seen an arm walk. I ain't never seen fingers talk. I seen them communicate. But I ain't never seen them talk. Now come against the assignment of you fooling yourself because you've been hurt by people that you don't need people. I come against that assignment that's robbing you, it's keeping you bound because you won't fool with nobody. The one person that hurt you does not reflect everybody. Amen. That's how a man is. Notice how that one was. And you went to that one because you ain't know no better. It wasn't because of him. Oh, I better leave that alone. Man, you knew she didn't cook. That's how a woman is. All they want is your wallet. That's how that one was. Not everybody wear a certain cologne. That's how a man that wear a brute is. That's how them Chanel women act. I know what I'm talking about. Y'all associate people by your past. And now everybody got to pay the price, including you. Because you're missing out. Some of y'all are missing out on wonderful friendships, wonderful ministry opportunities, wonderful fellowship, because you think it's just you and God. Come fellowship. No, I ain't fooling with them. So why you go to church here then? Well, I like the word. I come for the word, clown. You just fool with people. Okay. Plagued by your past, people who won't participate, and lastly, I need the Lord to unwrap me because my purpose is beyond this place. I've got a purpose that goes beyond being around a grave. Y'all, if you mess around and keep reading the rest of John 11 and John 12 is when you have another discourse, when now Lazarus goes from being a dead man to being a guest of honor with Jesus. Yeah, okay, 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 okay. He goes from being a dead man, bound, to being a living man, free, and he gets to have a feast in his honor. This is where Mary cracks a bottle of spikenard, costly perfume that could have been used for a whole lot of other things, a year's salary, pours it on Jesus' feet, takes her glory down, wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. Disciples say, you wasted money doing that. We could have used that to do something else. Shut up. But here's something you got to see. Lazarus' purpose was bigger than just being a dead man who will live. Because if you read chapter 12, the same folks that wanted to kill Jesus wanted to kill Lazarus. Now, that's going to be bad news if you just see why they wanted to kill him. They didn't want to kill him because he didn't stay dead. They're going to kill him because people's lives were being changed by seeing his testimony. Every time folks saw Lazarus, they remember what Jesus did. Every time people saw Lazarus, they remember how God saved him. Every time people saw Lazarus, he wasn't just a dead man. Every time they saw Lazarus, they remember the black suit they wasted. Every time they see Lazarus, they remember the 8-piece they could have saved. Because they took all that food to a repast that never did happen. They took it to a repast that never occurred. Because every time I see him, I see who the Lord saved. I see who the Lord raised. I see who the Lord renewed. And it changed the atmosphere. Can that be said of anybody else in this house today, that you don't care what happens, no matter where I go, I'm going to be a testimony of the love of God. When you see me, you see God's power. When you see me, you see God's grace. When you see me, you see how he picked me up. When you see me, you see how he gave me life. When you see me, you see how he renewed me. When you see me, you see how he gave me strength. When you see me, you see how far he brought me. And I don't care who likes it. I don't care who hates it. Everywhere I go, I'm going to represent what the Lord did. I'm free now. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord.